League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everyone loves football.
This is First and Ten. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into First and Ten. I'm David Gow. Sitting next to me, Carla Dawson. And behind the glass, Ron Culver. Welcome in, everyone.
Ron, and a diehard Dodgers fan celebrating the big week.
Dodgers on their way to another deep playoff run, presumably. We shall see. You know, it was fun because last Monday we were on a show entitled The Boss and the Gloss here on SB Nation Radio. And at that evening, when we finished, we said, Antonio Brown is the man about whom we will never speak again. There was no reason. It was all over. He was going to be a Patriot. The Raiders had said good riddance. It was over. It was done. And now all the latest news that has happened, the very serious allegations of rape, his trainer filing them, going to see Commissioner Goodell next week. An extraordinary, extraordinary window for Antonio Brown.
Honestly, he's the gift that keeps giving to the NFL in a very sad sort of way.
Yeah.
I mean, I realized when we were prepping for the show Monday night that we did The Boss and the Gloss, and last night when I was prepping for this one, I'm like, wait, why are my first two pages about Antonio Brown? And it doesn't involve football at all. You know, last week it was the circus, the social media circus that got him released from Oakland. We would have to go really back further to go to the feet and the helmet grievances and all this. When you think what's happened in the last 6 weeks, and this week it's the, you know, sexual assault and rape allegations. The guy was arguably the number one receiver in the league. We're yet to see if he takes the field. And what are we talking about? I've got pages and pages of prep about his off-field antics.
So many questions. I think if you were to look back and the Patriots, if they knew the fullness of what was to come, would they have signed him? Maybe they did know, maybe they didn't know. They claimed they did not know that the allegations were on the way. There's also just the noise. Take the allegations away. It's hard to set them aside for a minute. Go back a week ago. I felt like when Roger Goodell says conduct unbecoming is a suspendable event, that recording your coach...
This is going to test RG. See if he really can put his money where his mouth is.
Recording your coach is an illegal conduct unbecoming. And now he's got even more. Right, when we come back, we'll take a look at what it means for the Patriots, how the Patriots are handling it. We'll also look around the NFL at all the big topics and the games coming up this weekend. You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back to First and 10, the show that takes a deep dive into all things football. But we've got some off-the-field news. Antonio Brown has resurfaced again. And I want to go back to just... Well, five
you're hot
days
under
ago.
The collar. I want you to. You
I'm
just
hot
go.
On a particular topic, and the topic is this. Now that the rape allegations are here, what I think has been lost is if you go back, Antonio Brown secretly recorded a conversation on the phone with John Gruden in the state of California. That is an illegal event. There was no conversation about Roger Goodell suspending Antonio Brown in any way. Now, you know, I am the boss of this organization, I run this organization. I can tell you that if one of our employees goes home and smokes pot in the evening, we really don't pay attention to that. We're not enforcing discipline on that. The NFL does, however. The NFL has suspended people for long times for smoking pot. We don't pay attention to that in this organization. If, in fact, an employee secretly recorded a conversation with his manager, we would implement discipline on that. It doesn't matter whether the manager, like John.
And posted it to YouTube. You forgot that part. It was out for all to see.
We would enforce discipline. And it doesn't really matter whether the manager said, oh, I'm not so concerned about it. It doesn't matter. He's gone on to another company now. Once you've gone to the other company, we couldn't do anything. But if the manager, the fact that John Gruden said, I don't want to pay attention to that, or John wants to move on for all the obvious reasons, that's fine. But Roger Goodell has shown that he will implement justice. He will enact penalties for people who are not being prosecuted by the criminal justice system.
Ezekiel Elliott, your guy up in Dallas, same situation, 6-game suspension where there was, I mean, I truly believe something did happen, but in the court of law, in the legal system, there wasn't with his accuser with domestic violence. But he sat for 6 games.
So the potential of his being suspended for this, or the question is, would Goodell act, seemingly got washed over. Nobody even talked about it. Now, when the rape allegations came up, that obviously is a bigger headline issue, and I can see why the phone recording has sort of been left in the dust. But I still believe, even if the woman who has accused Antonio Brown of rape were to rescind all of her comments and the whole thing were to go away, I still think he should be suspended for recording a head coach's conversation, because otherwise an extraordinary, extraordinary precedent has been set in the NFL that any player can record a coach's conversation at any time and put it out onto social media.
And let's remember, this is not the first time Antonio Brown has posted private conversations with a coach in social media. Do you remember 2 years ago in Pittsburgh?
Yep.
I can't even remember what the game was. A huge game, and they were moving on in the playoffs to play to face the Patriots. Antonio Brown recorded Mike Tomlin's locker room speech in which there were F-bombs about the Patriots, which is totally okay when you're in a Pittsburgh locker room. He put it on Facebook Live. That was a big deal. Nothing was done for that either. And you think, again, I just want to reiterate, I really give props to Pittsburgh. They kept so much. What we have seen in the last week alone, let's not even go backwards from Antonio Brown, is unbelievable. Pittsburgh protected their brand and themselves from this kind of public scrutiny that he obviously brings. So I want to credit Mike Tomlin and that organization up front. Oh, my goodness, because look what happened in Oakland and now what's already happening in New England. I think what is so fascinating about this, and it's really on Roger Goodell. To me, all eyes are on Roger Goodell and what he does, because at the very least, what he can do is put him on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yep.
And that's what that list is for. That list is for conduct that is unbecoming or detrimental to the Shield, yet an investigation hasn't played through, or there may not be legal consequences. The commissioner's exempt list will pay Antonio Brown, but it won't play Antonio Brown. He will sit on the bench. And you know, you look at who else has been on the commissioner's exempt list: Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, Reuben Foster, Kareem Hunt. And with many of these, they haven't been prosecuted, but they all sat out. So I think what this goes back to, and to your point about the phone call situation, which is very illegal in the state of California, John Gruden is doing what he has to do in Oakland. They are working 24/7 to establish a culture in Oakland. And they had the worst start with Antonio Brown, but look what they did Monday night against Denver. He's on a trajectory, and they're not going to look back. So he himself, I think, is just manning up and saying, This doesn't concern my team, and I'm all in for Raiders. Roger Goodell should step in. Okay. That's exactly what should happen.
It just does seem inevitably Brown's going to miss some time. There'll be some sort of suspension, some type of exempt list at some point. When you look at the Patriots now, they were playing so well. And when they picked up Antonio Brown, the mantra was, do they even really need him? Now they've got him, and he's turned out to be a bigger mess than they ever thought. At what point do they just cut bait? I mean, it would be very simple to waive him right now, and the whole thing would go away for the Patriots, just as it's gone away for the Raiders.
They're not going to do that, because the Patriots, and I saw Bill Belichick say it yesterday, look what I did with Randy Moss. That's exactly what he thinks is, and you know what? He may be able to do that. Here's what I don't love. I don't love the optics of yesterday. A, that Antonio Brown was practicing.
Yep.
That's hideous. It's like, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Screw over an entire franchise in Oakland. You know, allegedly rape and sexually assault a woman. And go ahead and practice. And practice with the number one on your jersey? What does number one mean? You're a loser? No, that's top of the class. A number one. I didn't love the optics. I couldn't stand it, actually. And then Drew Rosenhaus, saw his interview on SportsCenter yesterday. And I want to point out two things that he said that really, they just don't sit well with me. He says, yes, when asked about, obviously, these allegations. Did you see this coming? Yeah, Antonio and I have been anticipating this for a while. Well, I'll be darned. Did you let Bill Belichick know that? And if you did, Bill Belichick is lying.
Well, yeah, he claims that the Patriots all claim they had no knowledge of this issue that was coming down.
So then that should come on Drew Rosenhaus. You knew it was coming, and it didn't come out of the blue for you. So there's that. The other thing is Drew Rosenhaus
asked. Can I just pause on that one?
Yes,
you raised an interesting point. Rosenhaus and Tony Brown knew this was coming. I'm sure that the woman was talking to them. This is a civil proceeding. I'm sure she was talking about some sort of settlement. There might have been a discussion about money to make it all go away. And in the midst of that, if I were Antonio Brown and I had a big payday, I was making a lot of money with the Raiders, in the midst of that, knowing all this negative PR was going to come and what it might do to me, my brand, and my ability to play in the NFL, am I getting suspended? Why would I work my way out of Oakland? I mean, Oakland had everything set up for him. Anyway, it just makes his idiocy all
that. His selfishness is just, it's at an all-time high.
All that more pronounced. All right, but what was your second point on this?
So my second point is that this is what Drew Rosenhaus asked everyone on SportsCenter. People judge Antonio without knowing the facts. I would ask you to wait for the facts. Well, let me tell you, Drew Rosenhaus, Antonio gave us more facts in Oakland because we got to see it on video running around the yard. I'm free. We heard he hired social media consultants. We saw his feet. We saw the helmet grievances. We saw the YouTube with John Gruden's voice. Those are actually facts, Drew Rosenhaus, and we are building our opinions on the facts that you've given us so far. Let's take away this incredibly serious allegations of rape and sexual assault. Oh my gosh, I can't even start with that. Let's take that out of the picture. We've got enough facts. We have our opinion, Antonio Brown. I have never, and I would love to ask people who have seen the NFL longer than me, have you ever seen a more selfish person, athlete, ever in the history of not only the NFL, any sport?
I have not. And in fact, that's why when Bill Belichick said, well, you asked me the same question about Randy Moss, mm-hmm. I felt like it was an insult to Randy Moss.
Right, I did too.
Randy Moss had some troubled times, but Randy Moss was no Antonio Brown.
Oh, no.
I mean, he had
troubles
with some teammates. There were some people who accused him of quitting in Oakland because things were going so awry there. But goodness, Randy Moss was no Antonio Brown. Let's just be clear. These are not comparable situations.
That's a great point to bring up because you're right. He did bring Randy right
poor
back down
Randy
to that
Moss.
Antonio Brown
deserve
basement.
That.
I also want to make another point too, which I think is important to note. So people are saying that Brittany Taylor, his former trainer that is bringing these allegations, she's in for a money grab. Do you know what she's asking for monetarily?
Not a lot.
$75,000.
Yep.
If that's a money grab, I mean, she could be asking for millions. So here's what is interesting about the accuser.
Oh, I just got to add something to
this.
This is an amazing thing.
Yeah, add it.
She's also getting married this weekend.
She's getting married
this
weekend.
My goodness, what a way to celebrate a wedding. Can you imagine the overhang going into a wedding weekend? She's going to see Roger Goodell next week.
This.
She's the storyline of every ESPN. This is a once-in-a-lifetime moment. This is your wedding week. Think of the family implications. Think of all the layers of this. And she's got to get married this weekend. This has got to be the very worst moment that it would ever come out.
Well, I think what this really shows is how emotionally this affects a victim. Because me, as a diehard, unapologetic Raiders fan, princess of darkness since birth, seriously, you know how long I've been seething since Antonio Brown did this. I mean, I cannot calm down. I feel like I've been broken up with. I was so upset. And all I am is just a diehard Raiders fan. This girl has potentially or allegedly been wronged by him physically and mentally. And I think when she saw all the circus that was going on in Oakland and then what is his punishment? Being picked up by the Super Bowl contenders and going, I think she said, this is it. I can't take one more minute. I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I think it just I can feel how she can be pushed to the edge. I feel that way and I'm only a fan.
All right. You've heard it. Antonio Brown, the man about whom we were never going to speak again, has worked his way back into all things NFL.
And no things football, let's be clear.
No, but when we come back, we're going to talk some real football. We've got some great games coming up. We're going
to
look at that New Orleans hangover. They face the Rams. They have to deal with the rematch from last year's NFC title game. When we take about a moment, we'll come back and we'll take a look at that. You're listening to the First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, there are hangovers in life. There was a hangover for the Atlanta Falcons after their devastating loss in the Super Bowl to the Patriots. They really weren't the same team the following year.
They still haven't recovered. It's been a couple years
now. It would seem they have not recovered yet. There's another hangover, which is New Orleans. And they really have back-to-back hangovers, those playoff losses that were so heartbreaking. The Minnesota,
I'm going to call it
the Minnesota meltdown from the New Orleans perspective.
Courtesy of Stephon Diggs.
And then, of course, last year, the no-call against the Rams. Well, here they come again. The Saints, off their Monday night win over the Texans, now face the Rams.
Which they should be saying thank you to the Texans' defense. Thank you so much for pretending like you're not even out there.
All right, you want to go there.
In the final drive.
I
don't know if I want to go there, but let's just give credit where credit is due.
We'll come back to that. Ugh. But this is a heck of a marquee matchup, right? Here at the beginning of the year, Rams-Saints, love this matchup.
I love this matchup, all the emotions.
And you see what Drew Brees has been asked, of course, ad infinitum. How do you get over this? How do you feel about it? Are you really over it? And he basically says, no, you never get over it. You just have to compartmentalize it.
Listen, it was unfortunate 2 years in a row what had happened to New Orleans.
Yep.
New Orleans also had some mismanagement in the game. I mean, I've gone through the one that happened in the NFC title game against the Rams where there was a missed call that would have gone against New Orleans in that same drive of the no call. Then they had an entire set of downs and drives to stop the Rams and couldn't do it.
Yep.
So, you know, at New Orleans, yes, that was an egregious no call. You had a chance to make up for it. So let's just stop there. But Monday night against the Texans, they won with that miraculous 58-yard field goal by Will Lutz, you know, with time expiring. That was nothing short of incredible. So do you think they're celebrating? Yes, but not without whining. What is going on? Drew Brees has to complain about, you know, that reception to Michael Thomas in the final drive, the clock should have really stopped here, but they let it run another 10 seconds. Did they win the game? Was he able to do this in the final 30 seconds of the game? Yes. Stop already. These are humans out there in the stripes. There's going to be mistakes. You are Drew Brees, a potential Hall of Famer. Play through it and stop your whining. You didn't lose. You don't hear the Texans whining. And good Lord, they should be after that. That team disappointed Deshaun Watson and that offense with what happened on the defense.
Well, you raise a good point. New Orleans really doesn't want to develop a culture on the team of consistently complaining about the officials or acting as if the field isn't level, that somehow things are
tipped
against them. That never really serves a team well. I mean, you could go with the whole, we got a chip on our shoulder. But the problem with officiating and making that the chip on your shoulder is it's something that's out of your control. It's something you really can't affect. And that sends you down a bad path as a team. No, New Orleans needs to watch that, no doubt.
And it comes from the top down. It comes from Sean Payton. And, you know, do you remember in the Chiefs-Patriots AFC championship game, there was a really terrible call against the Chiefs that basically cost them the game on the offensive side of the ball. Do you hear Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, or any Chiefs ever talking about it? It cost them a berth to the Super Bowl as well. I don't hear a word from Kansas City.
All right, meanwhile, New Orleans had its hands full at home on Monday night against the Texans. Many here in Houston feel like the Texans gave that away on the final drive. Lots of calls. First of all,
you think I feel that way?
Well,
Are you sure?
Deshaun Watson was outstanding.
Brilliant.
Taking the Texans down the field. Two stunning passes. Kenny Stills
Hopkins
with the catch.
And Stills.
It looked
beautiful.
Unbelievable. Texans in control. Texans going to win the game. Texans
you
up by one.
You and I are talking on the phone after our show Monday night.
I get a late night call from the Gloss. She's all excited. Her heart's racing. Things were good. And then you could just see it. Drew Brees came down the field. But the big one, the one that's caused all the drama here in Houston, the defensive play call when on the final play, the final offensive play at least, for the Saints on, well, Aaron Colvin's coverage, and Aaron Colvin, the cornerback of the Texans, has now been released as Ted Ginn was able to catch what amounted to be about an 8 or 9 yard play and put the Saints right in position to kick that winning field goal.
Yeah. And you're hot about that, and you should be.
Well, I'm hot about it. There are two questions.
I'm getting you all fired up today.
Well, I mean, Colvin's coverage was one thing. Lots of questions about Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator, and the way he set up his defensive lineup there. The bottom line is the Saints had one play, very little time to go, just 8 yards, 10 yards is what they needed to kick a long, long field goal. You can line up your defense so that you protect against that 7 to 10 yard completion. And then you have to put a few guys back deep to be
sure
nobody goes over the top against you. But the one thing you don't do is leave the 8 to 10 yard completion there for the taking. And it was there for the taking, and Drew Brees took it, and the rest is history.
And it's against Drew Brees, who is reading that defense going, wait, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Like, this just wrapped up in... Put a bow on it for me. This is amazing.
Just put a few guys back, protect the over the top, and then put everyone else up to stop the 8 yard completion that you had to stop. But somehow they let Ted Ginn underneath, and the Texans stand 0-1. Now Texans will go. They'll face the Jaguars.
Any chance you can go to Jacksonville on Sunday and tell Romeo you have the day off? I'm going to step in.
No, Romeo's on his own with that one. They do face a really interesting quarterback, Gardner Minshew. He of the mustache.
Wow.
And it's really fun to see him come out of nowhere. Now, I know he had a nice career at Washington State, but a sixth-round pick, not widely heralded coming out in the draft, but he looked really, really good when he had to fill in for Foles last week against the Chiefs.
Well, and the Chiefs' defense should feel really bad that a sixth-round pick looked really good.
Well, the Chiefs' defense is not renowned.
That's their only weak spot, and it's not totally weak because it's the Chiefs, but... Wow, Gardner Minshew had one time had 15 consecutive passes, and this is, again, a sixth rounder who's never seen NFL action. He is a character, that one. I mean, do you know? Yes.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because in Washington State, he would often be found, like, in the locker room.
Yes.
He uses resistance bands, you know, to kind of stretch out his arms.
What's odd with resistance bands? Everybody's using them.
Well, basically, that's all that was being worn. Resistance bands and those little jock things y'all wear, and that's it. Oh, and a headband. Headband, resistance band, and a jock strap, and that's how he would be in the locker room.
Don't say that's all he had. He had a jock strap on. Is that not sufficient?
It's probably a little
You don't know enough
shocking.
About jock straps.
You're right. I have never been in a male locker room, and I don't plan on it, but wow.
That's his look.
That is a vision. I can hardly
The mustache,
imagine.
The jock strap, and a resistance band.
And stretching.
What else does
Doing
a man need
stretches.
In life?
I just can't wait to see if that's going to happen in the Jacksonville locker room.
You know,
if they need a wake-up call,
he's a rookie.
Maybe.
I don't think a rookie should try that act. You better be a superstar if you're going to go flaunt it around like that and twist your body and contort your body in those directions.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, the funny thing is that he is kind of a journeyman in college, and Mike Leach picked him up when he was going to go ahead and go to Alabama and play behind Tua and Jalen so he could basically learn from Nick Saban. He realized, I'm not going to get any playing time. Learn from Nick Saban. I want to go into coaching. He's a really smart mind. And then Mike Leach, who, of course, is quirky and brilliant, brought him in, and the rest is history.
So I heard head coach Dana Holgorsen, head coach of the University of Houston Cougars, who have a great matchup this week against Washington State.
Yeah, it's
Cougars versus Cougars. But I heard him say that it wasn't that long ago that when people looked at quarterbacks who were in that Mike Leach offensive
air raid system,
that they were what he called system quarterbacks.
Yes.
But no more, because now a lot of these guys have come out and really lit up the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, of course, the poster child of a guy who has emerged.
Goodness.
But Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and perhaps now
Gardner Minshew.
I mean, I have trouble saying his name.
I know.
It's like,
but I don't want him to
chewing
look too
on
great
granola
on
in some way. I mean, Gardner Minshew, he's going to be somebody to watch this year. It'll be really fun to see his career develop. He's not a system quarterback.
No, he is not.
Dan Holgorsen has high hopes for him. Meanwhile, the Cowboys are going to play the Redskins in one of the great all-time matchups.
NFC's
love that.
Matchup. That's a good one.
Long-standing rivalry. Redskins had the Eagles on the ropes in the first half, and then, well, the Eagles really kicked it into gear. Great adjustments by Peterson at the halftime. Eagles
Doug
came back.
Peterson. There's a lot of Petersons involved in this matchup
that's
that we're talking
right.
about.
So. Well, the other one on the Redskins side, Adrian Peterson, sort of the hot topic of controversy last week as he was made inactive. Jay Gruden chose not to play him, and I think there was a lot of feeling in that locker room that he should have been activated. So there's some restlessness in the locker room with Coach Gruden.
And Darius Geis is got a meniscus issue going on, not on the same knee with the ACL. So I think we are going to see Peterson on Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to play with Geis's injury.
All right.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Mushin Muhammad, former wide receiver of the Carolina Panthers. We'll ask him about Cam Newton and whether he can really uncork it this week.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. First and 10. David and Carla on the air. I would love to ask you some NFL questions. There are some great ones in the games coming up this weekend.
And maybe I'd like to ask you some, too.
Fair enough.
All right.
I'm excited about the Monday night matchup, the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets, for a couple of different reasons. First of all, the quarterback matchup is golden. You've got these two guys with incredible pedigree.
Same draft class.
Same draft class. Number one overall, Baker Mayfield. Number three overall to the Jets, Sam Darnold. They face each other as NFL quarterbacks here in year two. And what now looms is a pretty important matchup for these teams as they both started off week one losing.
Well, and you know what's interesting about it is that the head coaching matchups too. First year in New York for Adam Gase and first year as a head coach for Freddie Kitchens.
Yep. We do have an opportunity to speak with Mushin Muhammad.
Yes.
So we're going to welcome him into the show. Mushin, welcome to the show. He is a two-time Pro Bowl player. Played wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. Welcome in.
And Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears, that's right. Thank you for having me on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, your Panthers got off to a tough start last week. Have you been following them? And how do you feel about Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey in that offense?
Well, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you know, as I look at him, is definitely sort of a revolutionary player. I don't think he gets a lot of credit for the value that he adds to this ball club. And I think just based on his size, doesn't quite fit the profile of, you know, some of the other big-name players, you know, your Ty Gurley's and Saquon Barkley kind of guys. But Christian McCaffrey production, I think, speaks for itself. And, you know, for a guy that can line up outside, you know, run a slant route, get in the slot, run seam routes, you know, catch checkdowns, and then also carry the ball for 20-plus carries a game, I think that speaks for itself. He should be able to relieve some of the pressure off of Cam Newton. I think this is a very pivotal year for Cam, who's coming off, you know, shoulder surgery and injury ridden, you know, last couple of seasons. And, you know, I think he's got a lot to prove. Obviously, in the first game, he looked a little rusty. He looked like a guy who didn't play in the preseason and who, you know, has come off a shoulder surgery. You know, we are very optimistic about what he can do and how he can return back to his dominance. But, you know, that all remains to be seen right now.
And Musa, I was just going to ask you, do you think with someone like Cam Newton, who's coming off his second shoulder surgery, definitely the face of the Carolina Panthers, obviously Christian McCaffrey is a great pickup because the more touches that McCaffrey gets, the better for the Panthers. But can Cam, should he have played in the preseason to get the rest off? He looked so tentative last Sunday. And do you think he really can get to his preseason form in time enough to make a difference for the Panthers?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a good question. You know, can he do it in time enough? You know, I think he needs some early wins. And I mean more than just wins in the W and loss column as far as the game results. I think, you know, wins with completions and wins with, you know, some of the throws he needs to make and being accurate. I think he needs to go out there and be able to put some great drives together that result in touchdowns instead of turnovers. And that's been somewhat of the case, most recently. You know, Cam is a guy that is very competitive. And, you know, when he plays at his best, I think we've seen what that looks like. Right now, I think the question is, you know, can he return back to that strength? And he's got a new throwing motion. North Turner's been working with him on some of those things. We haven't seen that completely on display yet. But, you know, I think all parties involved, you know, your fans, your organization, and probably Cam's teammates as well, are really anxious to see him, you know, get back on the scene and return to the dominant performances he had back in 2015 and before that.
We're talking to Mushin Muhammad. So he was drafted in the second round by the Panthers in 1996, later went on to the Bears. So I want to ask you about the Bears, another one of your former teams. Week one, Trubisky struggled a bit, and now they face the Broncos in the intriguing matchup there. Vic Fangio, who, of course, was with the Bears, now the head coach of the Broncos. He's seen Trubisky a great deal and seems to be the perfect guy to shut down Trubisky this week. Are you concerned about the development of Trubisky?
Yeah, you know, it's ironic. I'm here in North Carolina. I still live in Charlotte. You guys probably can hear the cars zooming by me now. I'm out walking my dogs this morning. But, you know, I got a chance to see Mitchell Trubisky quite a bit at Chapel Hill. You know, talented kid. Got good arm strength. Athletic kid. I think he, you know... I think he lacks a little bit of confidence and some accuracy, and obviously being a young guy, some of the decision making, you know, I'm not quite sold. You know, I think Chicago has always looked for the right quarterback, and even back in my days when, you know, we had Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton, you know, we still, you know, sort of struggled to find a guy who can be the franchise guy. Am I convinced Mitchell Trubisky is that guy? No, I'm not convinced that he's that guy. You know, Joe Flacco in Denver is going to be a heck of a matchup for the Chicago Bears. And but I do think, you know, we've always been, you know, Chicago's always been a defense-first organization. You got Khalil Mack over there. You've got, you know, a great group of, you know, sort of young, talented pass rushers and defensive backs, and I just think that you know, with Chicago, you know, that's got to be their mold. They've got to go defense first, keep the games low scoring, and you know, put themselves in a position where they don't have to throw the ball 40, 50 times and win the ball game.
We are talking with Mushin Muhammad, two-time Pro Bowler, wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears. Mushin, you played that position so well. You repped it well. Let's take a look at what's going on with the wide receivers in the league today. We've got the Antonio Brown circus. We've got cryotherapy feet. We've got two helmet grievances. We've got posting private conversations with your coach. We've got social media consultants.
Wait a minute.
Working your release.
Who are you talking about? I'm confused.
His name would be Antonio. And then we've got OBJ in Cleveland, who wants to wear a, you know, $250,000 watch to play his game, and he might even do it again. Tell me your thoughts on these two specifically, and are they giving this position a bad rap?
Well, you know, we you know, wide receivers have always been known to be, you know, kind of the flashy, you know, both on the field and off the field, fashion-wise, you know, you name it. You know, we're kind of the prima donnas of the league. But with that being said, I've always been a proponent of letting my play speak for itself. Let my play be the conversation, and my play be the thing that drives the interest. I think, you know, with the social media-driven world, you know, how many likes can you get? How many followers do you have? And then endorsements based off of, you know, how much interest I can field, you know, on my social media. We have driven a whole new sort of TMZ segment of our business that, you know, if you look at the dollars that are being thrown at some of these athletes for doing the outrageous things that they do, you can't almost fault them for, you know, taking advantage of this platform. But it's now coming to the detriment of some of the players, right? I don't think that, you know, in a position I'm in today, I don't think that I would want to employ a guy that is not going to let his performance at the job, specific to his position on the job, be the thing that drives his interest from, you know, fans and everyone alike. I think it's a difficult balance for people who are employing these guys in that position to be able to say, hey, you know, we want you to bring notoriety to, you know, our franchise, but in the right way. And, you know, I think personally that these guys are kind of taking it overboard. Obviously with the you know, potential criminal conduct, and some of the other personal conduct, you know, it's way over the top. And quite frankly, I'm embarrassed, at some of the things that these guys are doing. And, you know, we need these guys to be more leaders for, the young guys that are watching them right now. You know, I had role models like Jerry Rice. I had role models, like, you know, Shannon Sharp, guys like that. You know, Herman Moore. I mean, classy kind of guys. I mean, even as crazy as Michael Irvin is in his time, he might have been the most flamboyant guy, you know, in our era. Still had somewhat of, you know, a sense of control. And I don't know if that exists today.
Which raises a great question that I want to ask you is, if you were building a team right now and you could take any one of two receivers, whom would you pick, considering the on-the-field and off-field performance? I'll give you two or three if you want to pick two or three guys.
Well, I don't need any help with deciding that, but I will tell you this. If you look around the league today, I mean, look at Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he was a younger guy when I was leaving the league. He was a younger guy in the league. And Larry Fitzgerald is a good crossover between the millennial generation and sort of the old school generation of my era, right? And, you know, Arizona, you know, battled back, had a great game. If you watch Larry Fitzgerald when he scored the tie-in touchdown, the potential to, you know, tie that game, had the ball to the ref, classy. I mean, you never hear about this guy in the news or something crazy or negative. You know, I just think that people need to look at guys like that a little bit more. And let's focus the camera and the media on guys like Larry Fitzgerald a little bit more. I like guys like DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, you never hear anything negative about Julio Jones out there. You know, as much attention and as great of a player as he is, that's all you hear people talking about, is what Julio Jones has done on the football field. And so, you know, as I think about, you know, different players that we need to focus on, I mean, guys like that, young players like that are guys that I would, you know, sort of build a franchise around.
All right, that's Mushin Muhammad of the Carolina Panthers and Chicago Bears. Thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Well, he's great, and it's fun to get to highlight some of the good citizen wide receivers who are letting their play on the field speak for their game.
Absolutely. I wrote down, when I had that question for him, I wrote down, but be sure to mention the good ones like DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, and I loved he mentioned them, with the exception of Amari. I mean, that's some class. So there are some good ones out there. Let's focus on those.
All right, when we get back, we will wrap up our look for the big games this coming weekend. You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
So fun to get Mushin Muhammad's perspective on the wide receiver position, because it has a reputation as a prima donna position, but there are some guys who just let their play on the field speak for themselves. And his comparison, when he went back to Michael Irvin, it is interesting, because Michael Irvin was a guy who loved to be in the spotlight. But even on those games when the Cowboys would hand the ball to Emmett, because they could hand the ball to Emmett, and because they were usually ahead and they wanted to run down the clock, I mean, Aikman's stats were not gaudy passing stats, because the Cowboys ran the ball so effectively and so well. The Irvin stats, if he didn't get thrown the ball, he didn't go off and pout. He didn't make a stink. Dez Bryant, I think, would. And you could see plays where Dez would take plays off because he'd sit over there and say, well, they're not going to throw it to me anyway, so I'm out. Irvin at least showed up. For Irvin, the number one thing was winning, and you could feel that.
So he was about the team.
Yeah.
And we can't say that about OBJ. let me tell you, no one has a better highlight reel than him. I mean, his one-handed catch put him on the map, and he continues to have some of those beautiful things. And what has that translated to? One playoff appearance in New York, which was a goose egg, after his cruise in Florida. And so far, a watch distraction. He's on watch alert.
You are a woman of fashion. We call you on Monday nights the Gloss. There's no watch in your portfolio. No piece of jewelry in your portfolio that totals $250,000.
I wouldn't even do my hip-hop class with a watch on, let alone, you know, catch balls in a
play
game.
Football.
So there we go.
All right. It is Thursday. We have Thursday night football.
Yes.
Buccaneers-Panthers.
Beginning week two.
Both teams come in 0-1.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for tonight?
I'm looking for proof, further proof that Jameis Winston is not the answer in Tampa Bay.
He's just not the answer.
You know, this is what I say. New coach, Bruce Arians, he's brilliant.
Yep.
Same Jameis.
Yep.
Last week, 3 interceptions, 2 fumbles, looking just like I would expect him to look. Yikes. What do you think?
Oh, well, I think the best player on the field tonight, hands down, it's certainly not Jameis Winston. I don't think it's Cam Newton. I think
it's Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey. He is the guy. He is so versatile. They can line him up in so many different ways. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball.
He can play in the Wildcat.
He's a weapon like no other. And I just find him somebody that you want to see. He's must-see TV. Watch Christian McCaffrey tonight. He is a guy worth watching. And if you've got him on
at 5'8",
yeah,
the most versatile back in the league, literally, they don't even know what to do with him because this is so different than what we've seen.
Well, and as Musa Muhammad said, sometimes he gets overlooked, not no pun intended, but he is overlooked in terms
he's
of
not the prototype.
The great players because he is small, but he is wildly effective. If you've got him on your fantasy team, he was a great pickup.
Yes, he was. Ooh, I'm excited. Week two, here we come.
Week two. This is week two. It was 1st and 10. We did it again, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic to be here. Thank you so much, Ron, behind the glass. This is 1st and 10, SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.